I was praying which direction to go, and I'm an evangelist. I pastored all together for counting 4 years home missions in Greenbury, Wisconsin, and 7 years in Walkerton, 11 years, and I think 18 years this time evangelizing, 4 years before, altogether 22 years as an evangelist. And I reckon I'll finish up my life as a hitman for Jesus. Get in and make the hit and hit the road, and I hit sin, I hit unrighteousness, but I don't preach standards, I don't try to straighten out churches, I don't try to straighten out preachers, I let the pastor do that. And God gives a pastor a message to his church. God gives evangelists messages to the churches. Now, you know, I don't mean you preach that message every place you go. Got one message, I preached about 100 times. I was preaching it in Hungary. Where do you belong to? I think I preached it when you were down on New Paris Pike, and Brother Savosky liked it so well in Hungary that he called long distance to Texas and read the whole thing off to a preacher on the phone. But this is my, I call this my hospital message. My hospital message, I'll give you a little prelude to it. Last January, I just got through preaching in New York City. I took my sister. I go get my sister, take her home twice a year, and I preach for Brother Bowie, and stop by and preach in Accident, Maryland, and that was no accident. There is a place called that. Since I preached a revival there, I'm probably going back next spring again. But and then I preached in New Haven, and January the 30th, I went to my heart doctor in South Bend, and he said, we need to take a look inside. Something's taking place, and so he scheduled a catheterization at Memorial Hospital in South Bend on a Thursday, and that's as far as I got. I could, if you ever had a catheterization, they put you in La La Land. Halfway out, you can hear him talking, you know. And I felt him trying to push through, and he said, we can't get through. It's too hard. It's too bad. And he says something I didn't like to hear. So we're going to have to go in. If you know what that means they're going to rip your chest open, saw it open. Anybody ever have bypass surgery? Don't have it unless you have to. One's enough for me. It made a believer out of me. Since that time, I've lost some weight and watching what I eat. But so he said, we're going to have to go in. Wouldn't he let me go in, put me right in the hospital, and monitored me day and night, and did all the blood work on Thursday night. And they was afraid he'd have to rush me in ahead of time. But it's about 6 o'clock Friday night. And they don't do evening surgery unless it's an emergency. I had a quad bypass. Some of you remember. I've heard about it already. But when I knew I was going to have surgery, Brother Ed McFarland, God gave me a scripture and a song. And the song was, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him, more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. And all night long Thursday, my son spent the night with me, and all night and all day Friday, I'd wake up, I'd sing that song, and tears come to my eyes. Not because I was afraid, because I had no fear whatsoever. As sure as I'm standing, I had a perfect peace, and if God wanted to take me, that was fine. I was ready, and I told one church, what's so bad about going to heaven? You know, poor man, he died, went to heaven. Isn't that a shame? Now, you all knew Johnny, and Johnny had an expression, for Pete's sakes. And I told one church, if I could call my brother John back, you know what he'd say? For Pete's sakes. Can't you hear him say that? Why'd you bring me back? And your dad was a quiet man, but if you could call him back, I don't think he'd be so quiet. You'd get a little chastisement. So God gave me that song. And then he gave me a scripture. And I said, Lord, when I get out of the hospital, I'm going to preach that. And I'm preaching it tonight. Does anybody know Isaiah 26th chapter in the 3rd verse? I hadn't had that scripture for a long time. And just that night when I knew he was going to have surgery, God gave me this scripture. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusts in thee. Brother McFarland, will you pray tonight?
Lord, we look to you right now. We thank you for your word that we have already received in this place. We pray right now that you'll anoint Brother Bill Heimer in our hearts and minds as we receive your word in Jesus' name.
Thank God. You may be seated. And the thought that God gave me is this: perfect peace. You'd be shocked, maybe you want to be shocked, at the apostolics that don't have perfect peace. Now, there's a difference in peace. Listen to me closely. There's a difference in peace, perfect peace. You can have peace up to a measure. You can have peace with everything but your life, or everything but this or that. But when you have that perfect peace, when you have that perfect peace, you know what it is? You're committed to it. God, I belong to you. If you want to take me, take me. If you want me to live, I'll live. Paul said, whether I live or die, I'm his. That's perfect peace. That's perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is staying on thee because he trusts in thee. If there ever was a time, end time that we live in today, the things that's taking place, if I didn't have that perfect peace, what times I've listened to Brother Urban Baxter in his broadcast, it scared me half to death. It would. It scared me half to death. Some of the things that's taking place, the mark and the number and all these things that's happening before our eyes. But you see, I've got perfect peace. My Heavenly Father watches over me, and I've committed myself to Him, and He'll take me through. Let me read the Amplified version of Isaiah 26:3. You regard Him and keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you. Because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidentially in you. Can't even walk without him holding my hand. I'm dependent on him. I'm leaning on him. My hope, my trust, my future, my today is in his hands. Just before Jesus was crucified and going to be taken away, he spoke to his disciples in John the 14th chapter, verse 27, and he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And once again, I'd like to read the Amplified version of John 14:27. Here's how the Amplified says, "Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you." Listen to this. "Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled." That's a mouthful. That's the Amplified version. Once again, he spoke to him in the 16th chapter of John, verse 33, and he said, "These things have I written unto you, spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." The Apostle Paul said, "If in this life only we had hope in Christ, we'd be of all men most miserable." There's no hope, there's no peace without him. And he said, "In me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Have overcome the world." Once again, the Amplified version said it this way. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace." Not just peace. Not just peace. To a measure, but perfect peace. "In the world you shall have tribulation," perfect peace and confidence. "In the world you shall have tribulation and trials and distress and frustrations." Anybody been frustrated today? Anybody been in distress? You ever have a trial? You ever have a test? You ever get agitated? But he said, "In me you might have peace. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have derived it of its power, the harm, have conquered it for you." Do you have perfect peace tonight? We were driving through Northern Hungary late one night, Brother Sobalski and I and two Hungarian pastors. You've probably been there, the Shepherd's Church, and going to the Sister's Church, and Brother Sobalski had just got a tape from the States, and it was late. We were tired. In a ref, preach, you know, and sung and all that, and he put the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir in there. They begin to sing, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy steps." And then the other song, "We bring praise to your Lord." But Brother Sugrowski and I began to speak with tongues. The power of God came down in the automobile, and he translated to the Hungarian brethren. They begin to rejoice and worship the Lord in the north woods of Hungary late at night, thousands of miles away from home. It was so good to have that perfect peace, that peace of God that passes understanding. According to Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." Peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Why is it that so-called apostolics that's baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, and we claim that we trust the Lord, we claim that we love him, we claim we put everything in his hands, and then a little trial test comes, and we get a little sick in body, and it looks like you're not going to make it. And all of a sudden, you lose that peace. He lose that peace. "Thou will keep him. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. There's a condition whose mind is stayed on thee." When you get your mind stayed on Jesus, Our trio used to sing a song, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I know the devil doesn't like it, but my mind is stayed on Jesus. When I wake up in the morning, I want my mind to be stayed on Jesus. When I go to sleep at night, I want my mind to be stayed on Jesus. As I travel throughout the world during the daytime, I want my mind to be stayed on Jesus. He gives you confidence. He gives you peace. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall, partition between us. I wonder tonight if anybody could define peace to me. Can anybody explain it? Can you explain why you can have a broken heart, tears running down your face, still have peace? Can you explain when it looks like you're not going to make it, you're going to die, it looks like at the end, and you still have that perfect peace when things aren't going so well, and you're losing your job, and everything's just falling before your eyes? Can anybody explain why you can still have that deep set of peace down in your heart? I think not. Because what the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 8, or rather Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's just inexplainable. It just passes all understanding. I know I love the joy. I used to jump over all the rails as high as that or higher, and I used to run the aisles, and I have the reputation in Wisconsin District being the first one to run around the tabernacle, and Brother Kelsey Griffin from Texas chasing right behind me. And you've seen me do some pretty high jumps and running. I love to dance and rejoice, but there's something about that peace of God. There's something about just lifting your hands to Him, inexpressible. Just can't express it with the words, and just have the tears coming down your cheeks and knowing it is well with my soul. Everything's all right, and I've got that deep set of peace in my soul. They were singing a song almost 60 years ago when I first got saved. I've got that deep set of peace in my soul. I've been redeemed and made whole. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I know I understand that deep set of peace in my soul. I think one of the greatest aspects of salvation is peace. Oh, joy is wonderful. Peter said, we rejoice with joy unspeakable. Joy is marvelous, but there's nothing that takes the place of that perfect peace. Just to be able to lay your head on the pillow at nighttime and know if I don't wake up in the morning, the song says, I'll say goodnight here. Good morning up there. Just to know that your sins have been taken away. Just to know that if He comes, you're ready to go. Just to know that all these things that's come to pass on the world, it don't bother you because your trust is in Jesus. Your confidence is Him. The song says His eye is on the sparrow. His eye is on the sparrow. Jesus said you have much more value than many sparrows. And if He watches the sparrow, I know He watches me. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit. When they took me into the ready room where they prep you for the surgery and put the IVs in, and my youngest son, Steve, when our home broke up a few years ago, he was 12 years old, we became pretty close, and he said, I'm going to spend the last 10 minutes with Dad. I guess he thought he was going to die. God fooled him. Had five preachers there for the surgery, that was something. But he began to reminisce, and he kept saying, Dad, I promise you, my sons are going to hear about you. I said, Steve, I'm not dead. He said, Steve, I'm not going to die. Isn't it wonderful when they're going to split your chest open and they're going to do open heart surgery? Isn't it wonderful to have the peace of God that it's going to be all right? And God's got more work for me to do. I'm not through yet. I've got some money in my account in St. Louis, and Lord willing, I'm going to take a trip overseas someplace next year. I've been invited to a lot of places. There's some places I have to preach at. There may be some more songs I need to write. And I told Steve, I said, I'll see you after all. I'm not going to die. Not this time. Maybe next time. And when I do, I'll go out kicking. I'm going to hit the devil one more time. And it's so wonderful at a time when you're going to have that kind of surgery, life-threatening surgery. It's so wonderful to have that deep set of peace when I said, I'll see you after a while. And I slept through the whole thing, Brother Ed. Can you believe that? I'm glad I did. Wouldn't you hate to be awake when they rip your chest open? 3 days I was out of the hospital. They called me the miracle. I said, no. I served the miracle of God. 19 days I was driving. That's a miracle. Didn't get to preach for 2 months. That about killed me. But thank God for the peace. Thank God for the peace of God that passes understanding. Psalms 4:8 said, I will both lay me down in peace. There are people in Richmond, Indiana tonight. Never give anything just for the peace. You may know some of them. You might work with some of them. But David said, I'm going to lay me down in peace. Isn't it good to get a good night's sleep? Now, nature might keep you awake when you get older, but not lack of peace. Have a boat, lie me down in peace and sleep, for the Lord only maketh me dwell in safety. A story I heard years ago, and I guess a true story, of a man who went to a psychiatrist. He said, Doctor, I'm so depressed. I don't know if life is worth living. Doctor, you've got to help me. What can I do, Doctor? Help me. And the psychiatrist said, I have a prescription for you. There's a circus playing in town. And they've got the funniest clown you ever saw. I mean, he'll just have you groan in the aisle. He's just hilarious. He's the funniest thing I've ever seen. My prescription to you is this. Buy yourself a ticket. Go to that circus and watch that clown perform. Then you saw the tears come down the man's cheeks. And the man said, but Doctor, you don't understand. I am that clown. If you pardon the old worldly song from back in World War II, a lot of people are laughing on the outside, crying on the inside. Oh, they seem so happy. They seem so wonderful. Life is just great. And then the lights go out. And you have to face yourself. And you're alone with your thoughts. And there's no peace. My dad used to read some poems. One of them, he said, I have to live with myself. So I want to be nice for myself to know. He said, I can't get away from me. I don't have to be around you, but I got to live with me. And I want to be able to look in the mirror and like what I see and know that the old account has been settled. I want to be able to say, Lord, I've got that perfect peace. When the lights go out and it's just me and you, Lord. When I'm alone with my thoughts, I'm going to have a constant void of offense between God and man. So they might be laughing. I never could figure it out when I worked. I always had to work when I pastored, and I worked at Dodge Manufacturing. Even I worked at Chrysler here at Richmond years ago. But up in South Bend, Mishawaka, they come in on Monday morning looking like the last rose of summer. I mean, it was just bloodshot eyes, you know. Woo! I had a time this weekend. Man, I had a blast. Woo! I had a great time. So what did you do? I don't know. Who's you with? I don't remember. But I sure had a good time. Got any aspirins or got a headache? And I thought, that's a good time. If that's a good time, I don't want to ever have a good time. I knew I'd been. I'd been in the house of God. I knew who I was with. I knew the police weren't looking for me. And I had a deep set of peace way down in my soul. So there's people in Richmond, Indiana that would love to have this peace of God. People's afraid of the future. Afraid of terrorism. Afraid of all these things that's taking place. And they are going to happen. But when you've got to settle with Him. When you have that great, deep, settled peace down your heart, it doesn't make any difference. Because God will take care of you. Let's thank Him for that peace tonight. If you have that peace, thank Him for it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this story has been told before, and you might have heard it before, but... I'll tell it to you again tonight because it goes with my thought. And it's just the way the Lord gave it to me. I don't have no more sense but just to preach the way He gives it to me. And in this story, an orator came to a town. And I'll confess right now, I'm not an orator. In fact, I think I just about flunked out of speech class at Richmond Senior High School. I read a poem. Somebody said it couldn't be done. The teacher said, are you from the deep south? Or just what? I don't know what she meant, but I'm just not an orator. I butcher it. When I go overseas, I tell the Brits and I tell the Aussies, I don't speak English, I speak American. And believe me, there is a difference. They think we butcher the Queen's language, and I suppose we do. I love doing it. Hey? Amen. I'm not an orator. Brother Dan, you may be. But God called me into the ministry. I didn't even go to Bible school. I don't know how you're supposed to step up, you know, and how you're supposed to take this step. And I never learned that. Did you? Well, I learned it. God taught it to me. Never got to go to Bible school. Your dad wouldn't let me, and I'm glad he didn't. I studied under him. But this fellow was an orator. We do have some preachers. We got some preachers as orators. They could make it anywhere, and sometimes that's good, sometimes it's bad. But this great orator came to this city, and he was perfect. I mean, just everything right, punctuation like it should be, and every time he'd make a recitation, people would clap their hands, and cat calls and all that. And as the story goes, this right-haired gentleman sent up a request that he would say or recite the 23rd Psalm. Is that what you say, recite? Say it anyhow. And so he said, I will under one condition, that when I get through with my recitation, that you also come up and do it. Reluctantly, the old man agreed. And the great orator started out with such swelling words and such poise. The Lord is my shepherd. It's not too bad. Maybe I could make it. No way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And on, he quoted 23rd Psalm. When he's through, there was hands clapping, whistling, people standing, cheering him on. Then he said, all right, Dad, it's your turn. And reluctantly, the old gentleman walked to the podium, stooped by age, and took his handkerchief out and wiped some tears from his eyes. With his eyes closed, he began to say in a trembling voice, the Lord is my shepherd. Is it your shepherd tonight? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Some of us been in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You may be walking through that valley before this night's over. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy, these are two good companions to take with you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When the old gentleman finished, there was a holy hush. No hand clapping, no whistling. You could hear people sobbing all across that auditorium. The orator stood next to the old gentleman. The orator was also wiping tears from his eyes. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, you may wonder the difference tonight in my recitation and this old gentleman. I'll tell you what it is. I know the Psalms. He knows the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd tonight? Who is your shepherd? Alcohol is some people's shepherd. Drugs is some people's shepherd. Illicit sex is some people's shepherds. There's all kinds of shepherds tonight. But I'm so glad to say tonight that the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. And no matter where I go, even through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to have no fear. I can have that perfect peace because I finally learned what it's like to commit myself completely unto him until I go any place that he wants me to go. I'll say anything he wants me to say. I'll be anything he wants me to be. I'll do anything he wants me to do. I'm at his exposure. And if God got more glory for my death than my life, so be it. I've known people. I can mention names from the old Richmond church years ago, some of the old timers who actually God got more glory from the passing on. The Andersons, Sister Crockett, my folks, old saints of God, memories in this church that would go on and on and on. They passed away, but the Bible says the memory of the just is perfect. It's good. Blessed. But the name of the wicked shall rot. And if you don't have peace in your heart tonight, then you need to make Jesus your shepherd. You need to turn your life over to him, or you'll make a mess out of your life. One of my favorite preachers is Von Morton. He's one of my heroes. Some of the things he went through, and his wife left him when he's 27 years old, walked off with a drunken truck driver. He had to raise two sons, and he went to his pastor, Brother Terry, in Bakersfield, and Brother Terry gave him a rosebud and said, open it up. You ever try to open up a rosebud? Don't try it. He said, the more I tried, if you knew Brother Terry, he said, open it. He said, the more I tried, the bigger mess I made. And he said, Brother Terry gave him a rose that was opened up. And he said, look how it is when you let God open it. Perfect peace is when you commit it to Him. Perfect peace is when you surrender completely and say, God, I'm going to give my life to You completely. I'm not going to hold back anything, Lord. I'm going to give it all to You. Has anybody made that commitment tonight? Do you have peace? Or do you have perfect peace? Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Not a shouting message, but I hope it sinks into your heart tonight. Because this is my hospital message. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Job 22, Job was a rich man. He was a just man. He eschewed evil. He was a perfect man. He walked upright. He was the richest man in his day, and all of a sudden he lost it all. Just a matter of time, he lost it all. His wife turned to a nag, and you can't blame her. When things go wrong, people think you're doing something wrong. I don't know why it is. First thing they say, are you backslidden? Is this wrong? What's going on here? And all at once, Job lost everything that he had. But I like what he said in Job, the 22nd chapter, verse 21. Acquaint not thyself with him. Be at peace. Thereby good shall come to thee. Psalms 107, verse 28. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves are still. One of my favorite portions of scriptures. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verse number 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. He that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. Somebody afraid tonight? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Otis Stamp was one of my favorite songwriters years ago, and he wrote that song, I Don't Know About Tomorrow. But I know who holds my hand. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Not many people call me Brother Cappy. Just my oldest friends, you, Brother Irby, and Brother Dick Martin, and there's a few of them, Brother Kelly out in Virginia, because that's my closest friend. They call me by my nickname, and I'm glad God knows my name. Does he know your name tonight? He said, I've called you by your name. How more personal can you get than somebody calling you by your name? Sister Willie Johnson, some of you folks might have been privileged to hear her preach. She was a mulatto. What a preacher. She preached three nights for me in Walkerton, packed out the church. And I went to a funeral in Huntington, and Brother Hugh Rose sung To God Be the Glory till he almost lost his voice. And Brother Kilgore preached about the elect lady. But Sister Willie used to sing this song, some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood, some through great sorrows. But God gives a song. And here it is in the second chapter of Isaiah 43. When I pass through the waters. Anybody been through the waters lately? I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Perfect peace. Disciples in the storm. The winds were contrary. Jesus seemed to be asleep in the hinder part of the ship. They woke up and said, Master, Master, don't you care that we perish? We're about to drown. You've been across that little sea. It's kind of disillusioned to have seen how small the boat was. Right in the midst of that sea, the storm came. And sometimes when you get in the storm, you probably think, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care for me? Aren't you concerned about me? You're the apple of his eye. Say, cast in all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Jesus cares for you tonight. But they were in the storm, and they thought they were going to drown. Jesus just walked to the edge of the ship and said, peace. Be still. There's a great calm. Remember some of those storms you've been through in the past? Whew, man, you just thought you're going to be swept away. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. But you see, love lifted me. You thought, Lord, I don't know the answer. Lord, I don't see my way through this. And all at once, peace. Be still. The problems were still there. It hadn't settled itself yet, but you had that peace. That's perfect peace. Everything's going to be all right. I don't have anything to worry about because thou will keep him in perfect peace who's mine. Hadamahashata. Stayed on you because he trusts him. Perfect peace was the three Hebrew children facing the fiery furnace. Anybody's been overseas, you know what the language barrier is. Man, at least 41 countries. The last few years, I've done baby talk. I've written notes. I've drew pictures. Every other way, you know, trying to make somebody understand what I was trying to say. And it's frustrating. Language barrier. And you can actually say something bad and not realize it. If you don't know the language. Amen. Amen. But the king probably thought, you know, I know you folks, you fellows are Jews and you're strangers in this country. And you probably don't understand the language. I'll give you one more chance. Think it's over. They had perfect peace, Brother Ed. You know what? They said, we're not careful to answer you. We don't need to think about it. We're committed. He's given us that perfect peace. If so be, the God we serve is able to deliver us. But if not, we're not going to bow. Don't wait till the crisis to make a decision. Have your mind made up before the crisis comes. Perfect peace is Daniel standing at the gate to the lion's den, the den of lions. And I always tell the young folks, I wouldn't be a bit afraid to go to a lion's den, would you? Would you be afraid to go to a lion's den? I mean, I'd walk around that place and just kick the dust if the lions went home. But if you read that scripture, anybody knows what it says? They cast Daniel into a den of lions. And honey, that lets me know they were home. And they were hungry. They were half starved. And they thought, here comes lunch or dinner. But God gave them lockjaw. Oh, I mean, they wanted to kill him. They just... You don't know how many times the devil wanted to get to you. You never know till you get to heaven how many times the devil wanted... Jesus told Peter, Satan has his eyes. He said, I prayed for you. How many times that he shut the devil's mouth and gave him lockjaw? He would have tore you to pieces. And he just wanted to, lockjaw. You ever try to eat with lockjaw? Maybe you never had lockjaw. Don't get it. It's not good for you. He finally said, lay down, Leo. I believe Daniel had a good night's sleep because he had perfect peace. Perfect peace is Peter between several soldiers there that's going to fix to kill him the next day. And you know what he's doing? He was sleeping. Man, we'd be squalling and bawling and agonizing. Oh, have the saints pray for me. Everybody fast. But he was sleeping, Brother Ed. Going to die tomorrow. I guess I'll go home tomorrow. He thought it was a dream. And the angel woke him up and led him out of that prison and opened up the gates of the own accord. I could go on and on tonight telling you what perfect peace is. The night before John died, my nephew and I went to see him. You know what he's doing? Laying their tongue talking. That's peace. Perfect peace. The nurses there, and you know what I'm talking about, said he never seen anybody so peaceful about dying. Well, he was just getting promoted. He was just going home, just a tired soldier that had given his heart to the Lord. But John, he had perfect peace. Perfect peace. Some folks would have been, oh, help me, somebody, get the doctor, do this or that. He said, I'm going to stay right here. Want to go to the hospital? No, just leave me here. With friends, he was well thought of. That's perfect peace. Well, would you stand tonight?